Welcome to MSP Soundbites. My name is Rod Sandon, lead author, 2007 version, and I want to talk to you about benefits management. Benefits management in MSP is an absolutely core concept. It's been there since the first version, and in the upcoming 2010 version of MSP, it's been redeveloped, but it's even more at the core than it is in the current version. Benefits come in many different shapes and sizes. It's a challenge for many organisations that are trying to use benefits management, but that doesn't mean to say that we don't have to deal with it. It's difficult because benefits management is around changing organisations. At the heart of benefits management is organisational change. When we set our programme up, well, there will be changes that we plan, sometimes we call them desired outcomes, but on the way through there will be side effects, consequences that can reduce the value of the benefits, and sometimes actually produce negative impacts. So that's the kind of context of it. Benefits management within a program feeds a number of the other themes as well. Without benefits management, you can't have a business case because all you'll do is have the cost of the program, not the benefit. Benefits are largely what stakeholders are interested in. Yeah? Benefits are the things that you're going to tell the stakeholders about to convince them it's a good thing. It underpins planning because we want to release the savings as soon as we can. It's got a much more important link to risk than people realise. If you look at the MSP principles, you'll notice that actually a core principle of MSP is focusing at threats to benefits. People tend to worry in risk management a lot more about project problems and overspends. What we should be worrying about is benefits, failure to achieve benefits. If we look at the core process that exists within MSP, that'll give us some insight into how it works. Now, within MSP 2007, it was called a process, but in MSP 2010, it's going to be called a cycle. The reason for that is that there is a life cycle process called the transformational flow, and people have tended not to knit it together. However, there is a cycle of activities that need to happen. First of all, we need to establish our benefits management strategy. That sets out the type of benefits we're looking for, how we're going to value them, roles and responsibilities. There's lots more about that in Appendix A of the manual, but it's really setting out the framework in which we're going to deliver benefits. And we've seen plenty of organisations run into trouble because they start to document benefits before they've got a strategy. Once we've got the framework, we can identify our benefits and we can map them. This can rather like risks mapping in a way where you might have a workshop. You can do that with benefits as well. Get people in a room, consult stakeholders. There may well be strategic benefits that are being required by the organisation, as in greater efficiency, lower cost, all that sort of stuff. So benefits come from a number of angles and we need to know which are the priorities. Those priorities are set out in our benefits management strategy. Once we identify the benefits, the next step in the cycle is to plan for their realisation. Yeah, what projects are going to deliver what outputs? When are we going to make the savings? When are we going to see the improvements? And then we basically execute the plan. Benefits management really starts at the outset of the programme, but a lot of this execution stuff is happening further into the life cycle. You'll note in the transformational flow that there's an entire process called realising the benefits, which kicks off very early in the programme and runs right to the very end. So this cycle of activities I'm talking about now are heavily linked to the transformational flow. Once we've executed our benefits, we should do reviews and look for evidence of our success. Sorts of things that we're looking for is evidence that we got the measures right, that the changes were achievable, and that the returns on investment were realistic. Our experience for most organisations is they're over-optimistic on what they can achieve on the benefits, and they're over-optimistic on what they can achieve with their project budget. Consequently, less than 20% of benefits have been, in a recent KPMG survey, less than 20% of organisations believe they actually achieve their benefits. With that information, we can then optimise the way we're doing things, go back and look at our profiles, look at our strategy, look at our roles and responsibilities and our skills, and take it from there. The key individual within all this is the business change manager. And most of the people sitting on this course or listening to this podcast won't be business change managers. And that's a big issue for programmes. Where do we get effective business change managers that are skilled and competent and capable to actually define and deliver benefits? Now on to the key concepts within benefits management. First of all, there's different types of benefits. Not currently in the manual, but available pretty much elsewhere, especially if you speak to a chartered accountant, is the concept of the three E's. Yeah, so benefits are either should be made up of either economic, i.e. they give you either more money or they save you money. They should be efficiency, which is doing more with the same or the same with less, and effectiveness, which is doing things to a higher standard. Now, those are three, almost like the mothers of all benefits, and they are a really good starting point. And actually, for people with many organisations have a vast array of benefits, you know, 30 or 40 soundbites, just try and hone in on some key ones. And those three E's are a good starting point. Economy, efficiency, and effectiveness. Okay, so then we can start to talk about valuing benefits. And there are two key types of valuing. The key areas to think about is, are you going to create a cashable saving or a non-cashable saving? So if you were, for example, to implement a project that saved half a person, you can't really cash in half a person. Whereas you might be able to save money on a lease or some rental, it's very difficult to save money on half a post. So you need to be, that's what we mean by cashable versus non-cashable. When you're valuing the benefit, is the organisation going to have more money to spend, or is it actually having the capability to do more? And lots of people have got themselves tied up in knots by claiming they're producing cashable savings when they're actually only producing non-cashable savings. We then need to look at likelihood, and you'll notice the table in the manual which talks about definite, expected and anticipated. There is a tendency to write a benefit down as if it's a copper-bottom certainty, and it's not. And if I give you an example of definite, expected and anticipated, if you were removing all the fax machines from a building, you could definitely expect to save money on the lease of those fax machines or the capital value of those fax machines. You would expect to save money on using less paper. Although, of course, it's not guaranteed because you might use the paper elsewhere. But you would expect to save money on peripherals and print cartridges. You might anticipate to save money on desk space, phone lines not being used. Because normally, you know, if you remove a fax machine, somebody else grabs the phone line and the desk space gets spread into by individuals. So it tends to be that the higher value savings are only anticipated, and that's where you have to put more in, more effort. Okay, so those are the three value types that MSP talks about, and they're linked to tangible benefits. Tangible is a key idea. Tangible is about measuring. If you can't measure it, it's intangible. And in truth, within MSP, if it's intangible, you can't measure it. And if you can't measure it, it's not really a benefit. Which brings us on to the critical test of a benefit. You can only have a benefit if you can describe it. You can observe something different once it's there. You could use the word outcome in place of observe something different. That you can attribute it, as in it's really clear who is actually going to deliver that benefit, and somebody is going to be accountable for it, and that you can measure it. So we call it the DOAM test, D-O-A-M. Can you measure it? Can you describe it, observe it, attribute and measure it? And as a minimum, that's the information that should appear in a benefits profile. Okay. So that's the key concepts, and just a quick one on the management information that you should have. For each benefit, there should be a profile, which is a detailed explanation of what the benefit is, where it's going to appear, how it's going to appear, and how you're going to measure it. Your benefits management strategy, which is the framework in which you're going to deliver benefits, which covers key individual responsibilities, measurement techniques, where you're going to get the information from, what, as far as you're concerned, represents a benefit. Some organisations really struggle with this. If you're working with something like the Ministry of Defence and you've created a missile, what's the benefit of that? Organisations have to think in terms of how they see a benefit. It's not one size fits all across different organisations. It's much more easier sometimes in the private sector than in the public sector. We would have a benefits realisation plan, which is the document that sets out when the benefits are going to appear. And then we've got this other little document called a benefits map, which actually shows how the cause and effect between change and the benefit and the savings, which is a bit difficult to explain on a podcast. So I suggest you actually go and have a look at the examples in the book to gain a little bit more on that. Okay, that brings us to the end of our podcast or our briefing on benefits realization management. I hope that proved useful and contributes to your learning in some way. Thanks for your time.